Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Right, so, hello Phil.
Hello JB.
This is weird because we are stuck here in the rugby dungeon after trying to record two podcasts and now we're on the third attempt and there's no Tim.
But there was Tim for the first two attempts.
There was. So but we'll explain that and lots more, but in the meantime you and I are going to put our hands in and pod on three. Ready?
Ready.
One, two, three.
Pod.
Hello and welcome to this, the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. The podcast about rugby doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. I'm JB, joined in studio by Phil.
Hello JB.
And down the line, there is no Tim. Tim is not here.
We've had a technical malfunction with the Egg Chasers shipping container.
Well, actually what happened is he asked Steve Diamond about the TJ Ioane head concussion protocol and he's now had to go for an HIA himself. We would also read you a review from iTunes because thankfully lots of you have done that and that's really, really appreciated. But Tim has reviews, so we can't do that. There was a really good one about empathy, so we enjoyed that. But you can follow us on Twitter at Rugby Podcast.
And you can follow us on Facebook, type in Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast.
Yeah, and if you want to know what a podcast looks like when you're trying to dial into someone with no Wi-Fi, I mean, if there's ever been a good argument for Brexit, it is the French Wi-Fi system.
I don't think Brexit is going to solve the French Wi-Fi system.
No, I'm pretty sure that's what the vote was about.
Okay, all right.
So we have no Tim because the Wi-Fi in French is France is medieval.
Yes. So what we're going to do, me and JB are going to record a very short, 20-minute, three key games from the weekend between the two of us, and then tomorrow night, so Monday night, we will record a full thing with Tim in the Egg Chaser shipping container, but on British soil, so we've got good, solid British Wi-Fi.
Yeah, British Wi-Fi for British people, as Tim says. British qualifying Wi-Fi.
So on Tuesday, you'll have the full podcast without just the two of us prattering on about all sorts of nonsense.
A podcast with more empathy.
Exactly.
100%
more empathy.
Let's probably kick off after, of course, we mention our good friends at Cornerstone. The best subscription razors you can possibly get. Better than Wilkinson Sword, better than Gillette. And don't just believe us, check out the GQ Awards where they beat, well, Gillette, Wilkinson Sword, everyone.
And everyone else, yeah.
And everyone else. Go on to cornerstone.com/eggchasers or you can use
Egg10 at checkout.
Well done, Phil. For your starting order, as little as £4, and you also get, is it 20% off or 10% off? You get some substantial amount off because you listen to this podcast.
Exactly.
Okay. Let's kick off with Friday night. It was Leinster versus Montpellier in Dublin. What happened, Phil?
It was an absolute beatdown. It was, I had this game all wrong. I expected Montpellier to use their enormous pack and even more enormous back line. A back line that outweighed the Leinster back line by more than 2 stone a man. That is incredible. But I was expecting them to kind of play Montpellier to play a very attritional, pragmatic game of rugby, suffocate Leinster, but Leinster were just far too good. Leinster's pack with more than a few internationals fronted up equally well, and their back line with likes of Ringrose, with Sexton back to his best, with Adam Byrne, the winger, and
he's very good, isn't he?
The other Byrne who came on at fly half, performing very well.
Now, I don't know. Is this a shock, or is this a result to be expected?
Well, it shocked me just in the manner. So I expected Leinster to win, but I did not expect the manner of the victory, because Montpellier are a very good team. They're in the top few in the top 14, and they know how to win tight games, but this was just...
That's it, isn't it? I mean, they're very boring, very pragmatic, they're very efficient, but these aren't necessarily bad traits. They're the traits of a very mature, very successful outfit.
Yeah, and they've got a coach under Jake White who knows exactly how to win very important, effectively knock out rugby games like this.
Yeah.
So the manner of the victory does surprise me, but looking at it from the other way, it's a real marker from Leinster to go against what is a very good team, very good, very big Montpellier team, albeit they did have the red card. To go and put in such a performance and an 80-minute performance as well, that is a real statement of intent.
Because, I'll tell you something else as well. I didn't know that Joe Tomorni could play 12, or did play 12.
No, I didn't know that either. I think that's the first time I've ever seen him play 12.
I'm also sure he's put on a tremendous amount of timber.
Oh, well, it's the Montpellier way, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. Did he not used to be very lean and fast? I know he's very hard-hitting.
I've always thought of him as quite big, like maybe a Rennie Ranger type, but probably not quite as big as he currently is sitting at.
Yeah, and with his hair as well, he just looks like a dishevelled mess.
Well, very much like Rennie Ranger when he went to France.
Yeah, that's true. No, Rennie Ranger was always a little bit quicker, a little bit more, I don't know.
Explosive.
Yeah, I don't know, Tomorni just looked a little bit heavy set.
Yeah.
And also, it's hard to say they didn't show up to play, or that they have a French mentality, because their pack is half Georgian and it's half South African.
Yes. Yeah. So there's no excuse for the French laissez-faire attitude to away games, is there?
The one thing I took out of this, and I'll expand this to Munster as well, is I find the Irish province is now very old-fashioned.
Is that an insult or a compliment?
It's a huge compliment. And what I mean by that is, all the other teams in the competition are products of meddling and, they basically result from rules and regulations and constraints in their league. So the English teams, who adhere more strictly to, say, salary caps than the French teams, have a more kind of even distribution of talent. The French teams, who have no salary cap, just tend to bring in all the stars. And you have these Irish teams, which are full of Irish players, and they feel like good, old-fashioned representative rugby teams, where they get the best players in that region, province. They put them together, and there's some real pride in what they do and the jersey that they wear.
I would say that, particularly the Leinster and Munster performances this weekend. You can tell the pride in the jersey. The Munster to go away to Glasgow, absolutely incredible win. But yeah, the pride in the jersey is. It is quite remarkable, and that victory puts Leinster in the top two, as in the top two ranked teams in the tournament. After Saracens only got a draw, they fall down to the third best ranked team in the tournament. So it's Leinster and Clermont one and two, with then Saracens and Munster in three and four.
I don't think that those tables are wrong. I think actually there's a good reason for those teams being there, and an 8-try demolition of a very good Montpellier team. I'm not sure they're favourites, but they're certainly right up there.
They're in the conversation. They're in the top four. Mm. That for me, those teams I think are clearly ahead. Mm.
Did you manage to catch what I thought might be the game of the week? Actually, you tell me if you think it's the game of the week. Munster Glasgow.
I did catch it. I'm not sure. Was it the game of the week? It produced, alongside the Wasps game, the best finish of the week.
Yep.
Actually, I'd probably say the Glasgow finish was even better, because it's a hell of a try. The Saïli finish, wasn't it?
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen Glasgow play in anything other than a cold, a cold night when it's dark. Because every time I watch them in Scotstoun, the image I have of Glasgow is hard working pack with that steam coming off them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's always pitch black when they played. Certainly their home games, when they played Leicester,
yeah.
When they played Ulster this year in the Pro 12, this game and a few other Friday night games we've seen.
This is turning into a bit of a grudge match, isn't it? The Munster-Glasgow rivalry.
Well, I mean, Glasgow didn't need any further motivation for the team talk other than the memory of the beatdown that they got.
Yeah, by 14 men.
Toman Park, after the Keith Earls red card. But Munster are playing so well at the moment. And so well with only a few absolute superstars.
Yes.
And I say only a few. They've got Zeebo, they've got Conor Murray, they've got CJ Stander, who in their positions are three of the best in Europe and in the world at the moment. And then they've got a lot of very good, very well-disciplined, very well-drilled players.
Competent players.
Yeah, but they're just getting... They are more than the sum of their parts at the moment, it seems.
Yeah. And I tell you what I thought as well, the difference between the two teams. There was a high shot on a Munster player. And I just thought, when this high shot came, I can't remember who it was.
Was it the Hog yellow card?
No, it wasn't, actually. It was before that. And it happened. And I just thought, you don't high shot a Munster player. Because all hell breaks loose. Yeah. Everyone runs to the breakdown. There's lots of... I mean, it used to be fists flying everywhere. But now it's all just, you know, grabbing of shirts and saying nasty things. But you still get that intensity. And I don't think that is quite there with the Glasgow pack. Or the Glasgow team in general, actually.
Yeah, maybe not. You do the likes of Peter Omani and Danica Ryan. Those boys who would... You would follow them into battle because they would always have your back.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
It's a great mentality, isn't it?
Yeah, you wouldn't think twice about getting into a pub fight if you were part of the,
the
Munster pack.
You've got those boys behind you. Yeah. But so that group is quite interesting because that propels Munster into that top four, looking for the home quarter final. And Glasgow, they've still got a good chance of qualifying, but... I mean, you always say it, you win your home games and you're going through, and they lost their home game, which is a big blow, and it does make their life more difficult going forward.
Mm. Well, two things on this. Firstly, the game made me very sad because...
It's very sad.
Very sad.
I'm a bit confused. Go on.
It made me very sad because I was watching it and I thought, wow, couldn't the Pro 12 be amazing? Couldn't it be amazing if they all just took it seriously and put out these teams every week? This could be the premier rugby competition. If I saw that every week, I'd watch it every week.
It's a great performance, great game.
Yeah, and two teams that can really, really play.
Yeah.
The second thing I thought was, is Finn Russell a game manager of the highest calibre?
I think that wasn't the finest example of his work.
Give me the game where you thought that is the guy to lead Scotland to a World Cup, well, or a Six Nations title, or anything. A signature game for Finn Russell.
When they won the Pro 12 a couple of seasons ago, he was instrumental, not just in the final, but the knockout stages and the whole season. His two performances against Racing Metro this season have been incredible. So
yeah, but
there's a lot of game tape. There's far more game tape showing his quality.
But Racing, you can't really call Racing a huge test anymore, I don't think, especially not in Europe.
Don't tell Aaron Major that.
Yeah, do not tell. Yeah, yeah. I mean, they were a huge challenge for Aaron Major. And when they've come up against really tough competition, Munster home and away, we'll see him against Leicester next week. He hasn't quite been the player that he needs to be. That's my opinion.
It's interesting because we've also got quite a lot of game tape of him playing for Scotland, where Scotland have come so close to winning the game,
yeah,
and not quite got over the line. I mean, the last two times they've played Australia in the World Cup and in the Autumn Internationals, and they've been so close and not quite done it. So maybe there is something there, but I do think he's only a young player. I think he's... an absolutely outstanding... He's one of the best fly halves.
Maybe something for when we incorporate Tim tomorrow, in tomorrow's podcast.
Yeah.
But if you're him now and you're developing on this trajectory, you're slowly improving with Scotland, you've got a really nice setup at Glasgow, do you think your development's going to be aided? And also, do you really care about your development, or do you just want to go for extra money to, say, France or England?
I think his development could be aided with a change of scene, possibly. But that is a risk, because Glasgow are a very good team, both in terms of the results they're getting, but also in the way they play. They've got, like you mentioned before, they've got a good, solid pack. They've got some very excited, very talented backs. And you're also, the advantage of playing there is he's playing with a lot of the people he will play with internationally. So he's playing with Seymour, with Bennett, with Hogg, with a lot of the forwards. So there's big advantage.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Advantage of staying at Glasgow. Moving to the Premiership, you could argue he's going to get more higher level tests because you're not playing Zebra and Dragons and Treviso.
Careful now, mate. If the Pro 12 fans hear you saying that, oh, you'll get all sorts of hate.
But for me, I think he's where he is, certainly for now. And in, I don't know, how old is he? 23, 24?
Something like that.
In 6 or 7 years' time, he could. So 7 years is two World Cups. 7 years' time, 6, 7 years' time, he could look at moving to France for a bit of a payday. But I think stay where he is.
Glasgow, can they still qualify?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
What's their situation? Because Munster must be topping the pool now.
Munster are top. Glasgow are on 14 points, which puts them 8th in the overall rankings. So if they win their next game, they would qualify. It is in their hands to qualify.
Excellent. And last, before we move on from this, the Hogg card.
A little bit soft in terms of the actual contact, but probably because of where it was on the field, as in, if he doesn't foul him, then it's a try. Yep. If he doesn't hit me in the head, then it's a try. Then
yeah.
That's the difference. I think if it was on the halfway line, I don't think much would have happened.
It was soft, but undoubtedly it did affect the outcome, because he might have struck him in the face. It might not have been hard, but he did kind of wobble into the next tackle.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it was probably the right call.
Did the referee ask the right questions?
I can't remember what the question he asked.
Is there enough empathy? And is he British enough?
Then yes. Yes, categorically the correct questions.
Fantastic. Of course, the other match in that group, which I don't think it has many permutations for the entire competition, but it's worth talking about.
Well, shall we wait? Because the other match in that group is Leicester Racing.
That's exactly
what it was. Shall we wait until Tim is with us tomorrow and we can talk about him in detail? Because he was obviously there interviewing Dan Carter, amongst others.
Yeah, that's probably wise then.
So we've covered a game from Friday night.
Yep.
We've covered a game from Saturday. Both of which, well, we've counted three Pro 12 clubs so far. So shall we go for the hat-trick and talk about a game from Sunday which included a Pro 12 club?
No, I don't think we should. And this is why. Because there was another game on, and when we incorporate Tim tomorrow, he's not going to let me talk about it. So why don't we talk about the Toulon game?
I don't want to let you talk about it.
What?
I want to talk about Scarlet Saracens. The other thing is, Tim was actually at Toulon sale.
Okay, fine. Let's talk about Scarlet Saracens then. What do you want to say about it?
What a performance by Scarlets.
Is it what a performance though?
It was...
I mean, they're at home.
For 75 minutes. They're at home against European and Aviva Premiership champions.
Yeah, but this isn't really... I mean, yes, they're wearing the same shirts as the champions, but there's lots of different players in there.
That is true, but Saracens, the Borg, they are known for how well different players integrate into that
team.
That
is true, okay, but if you carry on chipping away...
It
starts with one, it starts with two, so the front row isn't itself... The second row, the impressive replacements, but Cruz and Itoji for a reason. Everyone rates Skelton, but I don't think he's of the same class as those two. Does things differently as well.
He does things differently, and he, including getting himself yellow carded for stupid things, which certainly Cruz or Itoji wouldn't have done that.
Exactly right. Then there's the back row. Of course, Vunipola not being there is massive.
Missing both Vunipolas is huge.
I mean, Jackson Rae is a fine player, actually. Far better than anyone gives him credit for.
But he's really a six, though.
I can't help...
He's not an explosive number eight.
What do you mean? Like, explosive off the base? Because I don't think...
Just beating men. Just in terms of the... So his work rate is outstanding.
Yeah.
His fitness is outstanding. He picks very intelligent, very good lines. But just in terms of carrying hard, bending the gain line, beating men...
See, I don't disagree with you there. I think he's a very good carrier. When he's talking about explosivity, I'm guessing you mean off the base or something like that. And I think Billy gets away with a lot because he's just so immensely big. Whereas Jackson Ray's lighter, but I actually think he's got better footwork. He's a very good runner of a ball.
He's a good runner of a ball, but he's nowhere near.
He's not. I'm not trying to compare them. Clearly, you miss something if you're missing one of the world's best number eights. But
yeah,
he's not a weak link, certainly.
No, he's not a weak link. But you're right in the fact that you lose something.
Do you like the way I put forward the idea that they're missing stuff? And when you agree with me, I then row back and say, "Hang on a minute." wait there a second.
So you can say it wasn't the strongest team Saracens have ever put out, but they've still got a lot of international players right across the board and a huge amount of experience in that pack, that team. And Scarlets were very good. I thought Scarlets played excellently. They played intelligently. Their pack fronted up very well. I was very impressed with Jake Ball.
Yes, now Jake Ball's been playing well recently.
Yeah.
And the thing which makes me laugh about Scarlets is everybody says great backs, not much in the way of forwards. But they've got an entire Welsh international front row.
Yeah.
They've got Jake Ball.
Ken Owens is a very good player as well.
So that doesn't really wash with me.
Yeah. But their backs were excellent. Liam Williams, Scott Williams was outstanding. McNichol looked good. And Hadley Parks as well played very well, selected over JD2.
Well, JD2's not done anything really since he's come back from Claremont.
No.
Hadley Parks, I think, qualifies for Wales soon, so watch this space. I think he might get a call up.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
That'd be
if he's not already qualified, he is qualifying soon.
It's a good job Tim's not here.
Oh, God, can you imagine?
We might discuss that tomorrow, actually, because of the Denny Saltlamona becoming qualified for.
Yeah, why is he qualified for England?
Because he's lived in England for 3 years.
I thought it was because he married an English girl. Does that not count?
I think you would then become eligible for citizenship. But no, he's just lived in England for 3 years, hasn't he?
Got no idea. Is that how? I don't know. Did you notice Liam Williams had what can only be described as a bit of a Ben Botka moment? Botkering would be the word.
I know the Botica moment you were referring to. Go tell me the moment in the game.
Someone kicks through, presumably Saracens, and Williams picks up the ball. He gets caught in contact and then throws it forward.
Oh, yes, I did see that.
And he throws it straight to Saracens' player, and everyone else is, of course, offside.
Yeah.
So they intervene, penalty. Yeah. I thought they were lucky just to get away with the penalty,
actually. Yeah, yeah. Because of where it was on the pitch.
Yeah, and if someone just picks it up, they're basically in for a try.
Yeah.
So, and what was the other thing in this? Oh, yeah. Bad times for Alex Good.
Yeah, so Alex Good is injured, right?
I hope so. I mean, I don't wish ill health on him. What I mean by that is, I hope he's injured because I don't want to think of him being dropped from England and then from Saracens.
Well, there's going to be some pressure on him to get back into the Saracens team because it wasn't Sheraton's best performance by any stretch today, but Lazowski was one of the best players on the pitch.
Yeah, he was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
I didn't know he could do that.
No.
And if you've got that player in your squad, why not use him? God, they are stacked, aren't they? I mean, next year they're going to have Goud still. Maitland's a pretty good fullback. He's probably more athletic than all of them in terms of just raw speed and power. Turns out this kid can play fullback pretty well.
Yeah.
And then you've got Liam Williams.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah, Liam Williams coming into that. I do think they see Liam Williams more as a winger. Probably in the same way as Maitland. He can play, they'll start him as a winger. Because I do think their back three is fairly well defined this season and will remain it next season. It's almost a like, it's not like for like, but it's a Ashton out, Williams in.
I think you're right there. I think Williams will do very well of hunting that ball down in the same way that Ashton did. And might in some respects be even better. I mean, Ashton is so good at sniffing out those opportunities.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, his try this weekend, that just picking exactly the right line off the inside shoulder and finishing it off from 40 yards out.
More generic, Saracen's point now. When do you think they're going to start? They've got, hang on, let's put it in a different way. They've got a cohort of very young, very promising players.
Yeah.
When do you think they are going to start turning the reins over to these lads? And I'm thinking likes of
Tompkins.
Yep. Ben Spencer. I mean, those are the two who I think could start pretty much every week, but they just don't.
Yeah, Wigglesworth, they do prefer Wigglesworth for the big games because he's so experienced and his kicking is so important. Not that Spencer can't kick, he's a very, very
90% goal kicker.
Yeah, goal kicking and out of hand. It's a good question. Because another very good example would be Mario Todgi, who's come in and he's completely taken that shirt.
Yeah, he has.
Whereas the other guys, they're good and they've got a lot of potential, but they've not done anything to kind of oust the incumbents, really.
Mm. Yeah, and it does feel like Mario Todgi has been there now. He's like an ever-present. But this isn't actually the case, is it? I mean, by the time he won the European Cup, I think he had 18 professional games or something ridiculous.
Yeah, well, just over 12 months ago was the World Cup and he wasn't even in the squad.
No.
So that's how fast his rise to stardom has been.
So I'm just assuming that at some point they are going to make the same move with Spencer and Tompkins, because Tompkins in particular, I think... Well, actually, no. I say in particular, Spencer is a great player.
Yeah, Spencer's a very good player.
And Tompkins, you know, from everything that you hear, is extremely talented.
He is. He's a very good player. But no, I just don't think they've... I don't think they've shone as far above as Itoji has done. And until they do, I think they'll still be used as kind of... It's not even 1A, 1B. Because I think they know that Wigglesworth is their start... For the big games, Wigglesworth is their starting scrum half. And for the big games, Barrett and Bosch are their starting centre pairing.
Yeah. Yeah, so, agreed. Now, this really is the last thing on this game. How many times in the last play of the game can you fall for an inside dummy?
Well, it happened 3 times in the last 5 minutes and twice on the very last play.
Incredible.
It was quite incredible that Scarlett fell for it, but quite magnificent from Farrell.
Oh, this will work 3 times.
It wasn't Farrell's best game all round.
No.
But the way he did that at the end, the composure to do that, and the inside ball, obviously, to your man, Ashton, who was tracking him.
God, he's good.
Yeah.
They'll miss him a lot next year. And it's not until he goes that they'll all appreciate how important he really is.
But he's had 20 weeks of bans in the last 18 months.
Yeah, maybe that's the most important thing for him, isn't it? Going, because I think he's unfairly targeted.
Yeah.
I think he's just got a bit of a name and just people don't like him.
Yeah.
He's too northern. Do you know, like, the way that people don't like Sale? Like, Sale are openly discriminated against by the RFU. Well, he's from Wigan, right? And they just don't like northern people.
How does Owen Farrell and George Ford get away with it?
Enough of the facts. My facts speak louder than yours.
Okay.
Let's draw it to a conclusion there, because we are going to be with Tim again tomorrow. We have, let me just tease this, as they say in the radio industry, we've got gossip. I've got some very juicy gossip about Northampton Saints.
Ooh.
Got some juicy gossip about Northampton Saints, which links to Sale Sharks.
Ooh.
We've got George Ford. We've got Tim's travels to Bristol. Was it Bristol?
It was Bristol, Ashton Gate.
Bristol, Paris, Toulon.
Yeah. He has clocked up some air miles, but that is not a bad little weekend.
And also, you can find out about my infringement, my coming undone at the expense of the brand new, or week-old, high shot directives.
Ah.
You got yellow carded this week, mate.
Did you?
Yeah, I was lucky not to pick up a red.
For a high shot?
Yeah. It was a bad one. And that isn't my not. In fact, no, we'll save it for tomorrow.
Yeah, because you're not a dirty player.
No, not even slightly. I nearly killed a guy.
That is a tease.
Yeah. Until then, you can find us on Acast, you can subscribe on iTunes, you can find us on Twitter at Rugby Podcast, you can find me at Jay Beardmore, and you can find the Facebook page at...
Just type in Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast on Facebook.
There you go. And if you want to know what a terrible podcast looks like, go and have a look at our Facebook live feed, which I'm going to be pulling down any second now, so you might not even be able to see it. That is what a terrible amateur podcast looks like when you can't phone to Marseille because of medieval, antiquated, European Wi-Fi.
Thank God for Brexit.
Thank God for Brexit. We'll leave you with that thought. Until next week. Or no, until tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
See you, Phil.
See you, JB.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
JB. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.